Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time NFL Podcast for Round 4 2021. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain and joining me is a man who has called for radical change at Collingwood. It's Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. It's good to be here. Sorry, we're a little bit late this time, Junk Timers. It's been a massive weekend. Obviously, Michael and I finishing up, you were finishing up your comedy festival shows. I was gigging. It's been mad. You're back at Rod Carter Studios now. We've settled down. We're looking at the wash-up of the weekend, and I just think, like, everyone's laying the boots into Collingwood, mm-hmm. and it pains me to see Collingwood struggling like this. I mean, you know, they have one or two slight mismanagements with their list, and all of a sudden, people are coming for them. This is a team that played in a grand final in 2018. They played in a prelim in 2019, and although they were both really close losses, it brought no joy to anyone.
No. I think we passed the hat around for Collingwood, didn't we? Because we felt so bad for them.
Yeah, it's not like people barracked for GWS in that prelim as though their life depended on it. That is not how it played out.
It's not like when they won over in Perth last year in that first final by point. It's not like the supporters of 17 other teams went, that's fucking bullshit.
That didn't happen. And I'm glad it didn't happen because they deserve better than that, as they deserve better right now. So they are languishing in 14th on the ladder. They've only won the one game. Of course, that was, of course, they're playing the worst they've played in years. And of course, they fucking beat Carlton. but we'll move on. I think it is time for a radical change mm-hmm. down at Collingwood. And I am making the big call. And I know it's really early in the season to be doing this, but I am saying it is time for Eddie McGuire to come back to Collingwood.
I think it's about time. What's it been, about 2 months or so?
2 months, mate.
It's been too long. He needs to come back for another reign.
Yeah, exactly. And you say it's not that, therefore, it's broken up. It's not continuous. It's like a dictator who stepped away for a side. He's had a heart operation. He's come back. He's kicked a brother away. And then he takes over again. And, you know, he's a calming influence on that club.
Absolutely.
He brings stability. He brings a new cycle to Collingwood every 15 minutes. Shit's happening down at Collingwood.
And also when he's on the media and he says something outlandish, the good thing is, like, he's always good at getting the Collingwood message out there first. And we're not focusing on the periphery things. He's very going down one tunnel.
And that's what I think this club is just – it's rudderless. It's just they don't know what they're doing. With Eddie at the helm – you wouldn't have even known that they've only won one game.
You'd have no idea. It'd be like the transition from Trump to Biden. You know how, like, you know, Trump is obviously every 3 hours it was something else. And now Biden, and you don't hear a peep, really. They're just getting their job done. Like, that would be the transition from these two co-presidents right now with their radical socialist agenda. We get Eddie back in there. It's just smooth sailing once again.
It's smooth. Everyone's on bucks. They turn it round. Treloar once again is blamed for ruining the club that he's was forced out of. Mm-hmm. And they will get – Eddie's there. Now, the talk earlier this week was that – or last week was that Christian Petrarca to Collingwood. Okay. The jungle drums are beating, Michael.
They are.
And if Eddie's there, that deal gets done, and it gets done probably – by round five.
I think we're looking at having Petrarca announce that he is leaving at the end of 2022. I think they probably were scheduled in for Wednesday about 4 o'clock. They can get on that, 6 o'clock news and get all the and then Petrarca can, stand there wearing Collingwood jumper on AFL 360.
Yeah. And sitting in the back of a Volvo for some reason with Nathan Buckley.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, could you at all possibly talk Eddie into going back to the job? I mean, tell you what, you got to have a silver tongue to do that. to be able to convince him to come back.
He'd be pretty reluctant, wouldn't he? He'd be like, oh, guys, I'm liking the quiet time. I'm liking only doing 1 hour of TV a week and nothing else. Because he's not a part of Triple M's radio coverage at the moment, is he? I've listened to a few times in the car. I've not heard him.
He'd be doing.
So I think he's just doing Footy Classified on the Wednesday.
He'd be doing Hot Seat, wouldn't he? And he'd be doing Classified, yep. Yeah. And then he'd be doing the coverage on Fox on the weekends. No,
I haven't seen him come back to that. Having said that, I have been at the Comedy Festival quite a bit, but they have the pub that you and I were both in, the Imperial Hotel, which I'll be appearing at this Saturday and Sunday, 5:30 and 4:45 respectively.
Yeah, they're not shows, by the way. We'll get to it later. They're not shows. That's just you showing up for beer.
But they've had Fox Footy in the background, and I don't remember seeing Ed on the coverage. I'm pretty sure they'd make a big deal. Eddie's back, you know, he's you know, back from his sojourn.
Yeah, I think you'd say it would be when Eddie returns, it would be a proud and historic day.
It would be. That's how Fox would put it.
So you're telling me that Eddie McGuire is only featuring on national media 3.5 hours a week? That is a fucking disgrace, my friend. It needs to be stopped.
It does need to change, doesn't it?
We need to triple it. Yeah,
there are people in Outback WA who only get their fix through Millionaire.
That is an absolute nightmare.
That's not right. That's not right. What do you reckon? So we did mention that Christian Petrarca, it was mentioned, I think, on 360 by Robbo that Collingwood were all into him. And, like, who's not going to be into Christian Petrarca? He's absolutely dominating at the moment.
Yep.
But do you reckon that they go to Collingwood and Collingwood are like, mate, we'll give you 8 years at $7 million per year. Mm-hmm. And they go, you know what? We're going to trust you this time.
Sounds... I know it. You know what? What is it? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah, look, I know it didn't work out with Treloar or Tom Phillips or Jaden Stevenson, but we just have a feeling that this time, even though Brady Grundy's getting $1 million.
Yeah, and by the way, I can just see Brady Grundy in the background signing a renegotiated contract.
Yeah, and happily so. Happily so. He'd love to have Christian Petrarca at his feet, not getting his effective taps.
Yeah, no, it's great. So, I think you said 360 might have been floating. I think there might have been an article in the Herald Sun, which often recaps TV shows and the like, or podcasts even. But they talked about one of the links was that he's a big Collingwood fan. No, it was Tony Shaw. Tony Shaw was pumping this up, and maybe it must have been on AW. Must have been on AW. He was pumping it up that he was a big Collingwood fan, and so his dream was to get back to Collingwood. And then he also talked about how he is mates with Pendles.
And oh, there you go. That's two links already.
Well, that's a thing. And he used to talk to Pendles over the 2019 off-season, I think, coming into 2020, which maybe led to his, you know, super year last year. But also at the same time, Petrarca said, I've been at the club for about 8 years. Like... I can't imagine, like, you're still barracking for Collingwood on the weekend when they're playing.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so. I reckon when you walk into a club and you play, say you get, you realise you're a part of the team, that then all of a sudden your allegiances would switch almost immediately. Once, like, even if you're running around in the twos, you're not still like going, oh, I'm getting a kick for Casey, but fucking hell, I really want the Pies to win this weekend.
Like, I've never seen him in a Queen's birthday game and Collingwood kicks a goal and... Yeah. Petrarca gets around them. Like, he's jumping on the pack going, well done on your first goal, mate. That's amazing.
That's really good.
Come on, boys. Let's do it.
Pat people on the head.
So I think it's all a bit of a furphy at the minute. And
So now you're saying Tony Shaw, liar. That's what I'm hearing. This is a man of integrity, Michael. He captained this club. You name one thing that Tony Shaw has ever said that was wrong. You can't. See?
That's a very good point, but I suppose Petrarca would be the main contract guy for next year. I apologise, but question without notice. Who are some of the main contract people this year? I'm trying to think about who they
are. Patrick Cripps is coming out of contract.
Yep.
I believe maybe Harry Mackay at Carlton. Mm-hmm. Zach Merritt is the big one out at Essendon.
Yeah, sure.
Lots of teams. There was a couple more teams added to the list of who's into Zach Merritt today. I know Port Adelaide was one of them. Probably the Western Bulldogs, you know, just because why wouldn't they just fucking add to their already 300 midfielders they've got rolling through that unbelievably deep midfield.
And I suppose Cripps would be the most important. Has he made noises about putting it on hold for a while, or is he Are they currently in negotiations about, you know, doing another bunch of years?
Yeah, he's in negotiations. He's kind of said that he doesn't want to. I mean, he's from Outback WA. So even to go to Perth for him is a bit like, oh, I've never lived in Perth.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I don't want to fucking live there, mate. You know, I go there and I'm like, oh, this is nice. Oh, how much for that coffee? $14. That's a bit shit too.
I enjoy the cheap flights to Bali, but come on, guys.
Yeah. I've got seven jet skis, but I can't use them all.
I mean, I'm like anyone. I love super tasty rooster as much as the next guy, but still.
Who doesn't? I mean, who doesn't want to spend a weekend in Bunbury on the fucking glass barbecue? But still, I can do that back in Melbourne.
You know what it's got though over there, mate? It's very appealing.
What's it got? I know.
After Stadium.
I know.
It's one hell of a fucking footbridge, mate. It's one hell of a footbridge.
Do you reckon that's what? Because I can't imagine where would he go?
Well, but I think if he did get into negotiations with Freo or Perth or Eagles, sorry, can't talk today. I reckon they actually don't even give him a tour of the training facilities or the ground. They just take him to that footbridge and just go, how do you feel about this, mate?
This is all it is. Yeah. This is all we need, mate.
He just kind of gets on his hands and knees and kind of just feels it for a bit. Nah, it's looking good, mate. It's looking shiny, looking nice.
Yeah, it's got like bounces on it. It's got no give. This is fucking, this is going to hold up. Now, comedy festivals. As I mentioned before, I am doing two extra shows this weekend. These are my final shows. The comedy festival finishes on Saturday and Sunday. So I've got a show this Saturday.
Wait. Which is it?
That's a good point. Saturday, as I was saying, I was like, this is wrong. But for some people, it's Saturday. But for me, I'm doing both because I'm a fucking hero.
You're hardcore, yeah.
I've got a show this Saturday at 5:30 at the Imperial Hotel and this Sunday, the 18th, at 4:45. So Saturday, 5:30. Sunday, 4:45. These are the final shows. Saturday is very nearly sold out. So you might want to, as soon as you hear this and you think, fuck, want to see Rosie on Saturday, get on board, trybooking.com.au. Search the Unwellness Guru or search for me. And of course, don't forget, Junk Timers, you can put in the little code of LOWDOG and get yourself a cheeky little discount.
What is it, Sunday?
What time? 4:45.
4:45. I was talking to Pickers earlier today. Having a quick chat about various things. He didn't know much, but he did say to me, he said, Sunday, 4:45. Perfect conditions for comedy.
perfect time for comedy. Who doesn't love being in the middle of one of like a great football game and going, oh, fucking hell. Did you book tickets to that dickhead, did you? Well, I don't want to waste the money. We may as well go and we'll sit up the front and be grumpy about it. So this is the last weekend for me. And then that'll be pretty much, I think, the last time I'll do this show as a whole.
Yeah, sure.
Because I can't go on tour because I'm not allowed out of the state.
Yeah, no. It's got nothing to do with COVID, by the way.
No, this ankle bracelet.
Yeah, sure.
It fucking gets white hot if I leave.
Have you ever tried to go through fucking airport security with an ankle bracelet?
No. They're like, what's that? Yeah, man, it's just.
Hey, it's what the kids are wearing nowadays, mate. Like, it's hip. It's
a vanity
cool
bracelet, man.
And you're doing
shows in the Sydney Comedy Festival.
Sydney Comedy Festival. I'm doing shows on Thursday the 13th of May and Friday the 15th. The 14th of May at 7 p.m. at the Factory Theatre. So that's Thursday, 13th, Friday, 14th of May. So about a month from now at 7 p.m. at the Factory Theatre. So you can get tickets at Sydney Comedy Festival. Check in there. Check in your name, Michael Chamberlain. And it's going to be fucking sick.
Where is the Factory Theatre?
Factory Theatre is in Marrickville. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right near Enmore Theatre. So it goes in on the, I think it's King Street, goes Newtown, Enmore, and then goes around to Marrickville. Mate, I'm all over my geography here, mate.
You're in the West.
Yeah.
You fucking love it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not there. Wayne Jackson Studios isn't there. But it goes Newtown, Enmore, and then Marrickville, yeah. So, yeah, Jeff Fenwick will be supporting me. Come out to a few minutes. You know, it's the traditional home.
Yeah. Nick a few watches, head out.
Dude.
Now, we were talking about Christian Petrarca. Would he ever leave probably the greatest side getting around this season?
Should we be calling it right now? Should we make a junk time pledge that the Demons are going to take out the flag?
I can't see them losing from here. I mean, they beat a depleted Geelong in shitty conditions by, three or four goals on Sunday afternoon. You just can't see where Melbourne. You know when you can see each team and you go, oh, they'll drop that game or they'll drop that. With Melbourne, I've gone through their fixture, fine-tooth comb, and there's not one game that I can see that team dropping all the way through. And I've done the ladder predictor. I've done the finals predictor.
You went into the arc, didn't you?
Absolutely. I've done it all. And I can't see them. I actually had them going undefeated until the end of next year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, back-to-back already. Okay, well, we can call back-to-back for the D's right now. I mean, I can't see them going anything less than 22-0 this year.
Yeah, if you're a Demons fan, get excited and just fucking, mate, you know what? Mortgage that investment property.
That's a really good point.
All in. Because you're just going to get yourself another fucking property down Sorrento at the back of it.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Win-win here, people.
Yeah, yeah. Why do you need to buy another thoroughbred? Like, you don't need it. Like, you know.
Nah.
Like, take your franking credits and put it all on the D's back to back.
All on the D's, mate. Into Petrarca winning the Brownlow. Into Petrarca also winning Norm Smith.
But also Petrarca winning the Brownlow, but for Collingwood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Roll that in. You know what? Why do you need to send your kids to Scotch? Can't you just send one of them to go, fucking send him to Xavier? You go, ugh. I go, mate, but just fucking send one to Wesley. And you're like, oh, the poor little fucker. You go, yeah, but it's going to pay dividends.
He looks horrible in purple.
Big story out of Melbourne, though, is the fact that they have their president, who has been president. How long has Glenn Bartlett been president?
Question without notice, about 8 years. Only about the fact he talks about that he, one of the reasons why he gave up is that he was having a beer with his kids on the couch, and they said, we haven't done that for 8 years.
And they were, they're 12.
Yeah, I was going to say they're 9, they're 11, 13. No, because they would normally, they're grown kids, they're in their 20s, obviously, but they had to drink beer because the butler had spilled the Johnny Walker blue label. They were furious. They beat him.
Yeah.
Oh, and they had to drink Grolsch. Yuck!
How do you open these? Do I need a bottle opener? Or you just pop it? Oh, my thumb, Daddy, my thumb.
My broken nail. The long nail that I used to do the cocaine with.
Now, he's been probably one of your quieter. I suppose, though, you're not going to be, well, depending. You know what's fascinating is how presidents are when their team's going badly. Now, his team hasn't been great, so he's been fairly quiet about it. The only big thing he ever said was, we don't give out our jumpers in Wheaties packets.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was either last year or the year before when they'd had a terrible loss and you'd just gone half-assed. And he'd pretty much had a gutful and Simon Goodwin wasn't wrapped because the first he heard about that was when he read it in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just one of those presidents who you don't hear a lot from, which I imagine players and coaches would be quite happy about. You know, Carlton, when you'd never hear from Matt LeBlanc. Yeah, never.
I suppose it's the kind of thing where they throw their weight around when they think they can.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I suppose it's like if Melbourne came, you know, got really angry about something, went up to Gill and said, you got to do this. They'd be like, that's very cute. I like that. Yeah. That's very cute. But then obviously, you know, the artist formerly known as Eddie McGuire, like, you know, if they come in, you know, you bend their fists, like, you got to pay a bit more attention. Like every 5 minutes he's calling up Gill going, Port Adelaide, they're not wearing those prison that prison jumper, are they? No, they're not. Okay, they better not be.
I saw a Port Adelaide fan in a prison bar jumper. Is that legal?
I just drove by Pentridge Prison. It's Port Adelaide training.
But it's pretty bad for him. Like, it's disappointing for him because he's kind of the word on the street is that he's been moved out. So he's kind of there's been rumblings at board level.
I think you find they're called a jungle drums.
They've been beating and they've said, get the fuck out. Now, if they go on to win an elusive fucking flag.
Oh, dude, yeah.
57 years.
Yeah.
It's been. And if he's not a part of that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
On that day, that's fuck. I mean, surely, even though people are not into him, they've got to be like, you've got to be there that night. Like, is he there by proxy? Is he there? Is he there? Is he allowed up on stage to kind of revel in it? It's just, that's a tough. And this is a team that's going back to back, Michael.
Yeah, sure, sure. I mean, and
he's
think of the legacy,
this
too.
Dynasty.
You know, when the team, you know, trains at Amy Park, along with, you know, a soccer team and a rugby team and a rugby league team, and like, and then they wanted to build a development, and
in Jollymont,
the council said, "You're not fucking doing that, mate." Like, think of the legacy that he's leaving for the Melbourne Football Club.
Kids can walk past for hundreds of years through the Yarra Park at the car park there and go, "This is where Glenn Bartlett wanted to build." And I go, was he a fucking idiot, Dad? And they're like, he was, but his legacy.
It's on a big hill, Dad.
Yeah. He wanted to build above a train station, one of the busiest. He did, son. He did. And we will never forget.
Hey, there was a little story during the week about loaning players.
I'm all in on it.
So I think someone maybe asked Damien Hardwick about it, because I didn't realise this. It's a thing that does happen quite regularly in European soccer leagues and, you know, well, South American soccer leagues as well. I didn't know this. Damien Hardwick said that he would be happy to loan one of the Richmond players, like a third or fourth string ruckman.
Yes, so they could, 'cause the Gold Coast had what's his name? Jared Witts went down. They've got another player waiting to come back, Zach Smith, and they've got another player who did his ACL. So they're basically are devoid of ruckman, and they're saying Gold Coast are basically hanging out till the mid-season draft.
Yeah, okay, gotcha, yeah. And Dimmer was saying that this bloke's about like fourth on the list, and he's running around the twos, and he's like, I'd love him to get a chance to play some senior football and then, you know, do that for a few weeks and then come back to us.
But if that happens, so say he goes to Gold Coast and fucking dominates, what happens then? Like, I suppose then, is it possible that then the Gold Coast say, hey, we'll give you a second round draft pick, and then does negotiations start because they've seen him, or do you put a price on it? Like, if he plays really well, then you owe us more money. Like, I just can't see it working, Michael.
I initially thought that it would mean a straight swap. So you would swap like for like. So if you had a 200-centimetre, 105-kilo person, you then had to loan back a 200-centimetre, 105-kilo person. I didn't know it was just like a one-way thing, a one-way street.
No, but if they had that person on their list, they would use him, wouldn't they? Or do they send back the injured player to rehab with the team that he never played for?
Well, no, you're not going to just walk into fucking Richmond and be like, oh, g'day, take off your son's jumper and just jump on the fucking, you know, anti-gravity running machine.
What about, okay, if you loan him, if Richmond loan that guy to Gold Coast, he has to stay in Richmond outfit.
Okay, during the whole game and the like?
Yeah, whoever they're playing, he's still in the Tigers gear. So you know that he's a loner. So so he doesn't really fit in. And he's not allowed to hang around with the club.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you've got to train alone.
Train alone, you're only there on game day.
Yep.
People have to work out your name. They can't work out. You get no nickname. If you get a nickname there, you're fucking back to your other club.
Yeah, sure. I like this. But I didn't. I actually had a quick look, and our junk timers out there probably know a lot more about this than me. But just having a little bit look through. And you know a little bit about this.
Yep.
But it seemed to be that you can loan people out, and they have various agreements. Some of them agree that, say if you got loaned out, Adam, you can't play against the team that you're from.
Oh, okay.
And then others, they describe it as kind of layaway, I suppose, where they have an agreement that, okay, you get Adam for 3 weeks, but then at the end of the season, you have to buy him.
Yeah, right.
So it's a little bit about try before you buy.
And I think a little bit in the UK football, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they might like trade outside your division. So if you're like a Premier League, probably, I can't imagine you'd loan to another Premier League. You might loan to someone like in, you know, the Spanish League or the Bundesliga.
Here we go. Premier League clubs cannot loan to another Premier League club a player they have acquired in the same transfer window. And also, a Premier League club may not loan more than one of its goalkeepers to another Premier League club.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's a lot of prestige on the goalkeeper, isn't it?
Yeah, a little too much, I think.
But how do you feel, though, when you get the tap on the shoulder from the coach and you're like, mate, and it's not even like we're dropping you to the twos. It's like we are sending you to an entirely different club because we don't want you here anymore.
But if you, like he says, you are that fourth stringer, and say you're at Collingwood, right? You're fourth in line behind Mason Cox, Brody Grundy, you know, Darcy Cameron, they've got another one on their list. And you go, fuck, man, I'd love to go to the Gold Coast because I'd love to actually get a game. Because, you know, as a young player, you're an alpha male. You think you're the best and you want a chance to show it. And, mate, and you're running around fucking in the kneeful or some shit every week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You would pretty much jump at any chance to fucking play.
It would be a good way to get players into clubs where they can just get a few games under their belt. Yeah.
Get into the system, understand what it's like. Although, having said that, on the weekend, GWS did play their ruck coach, Simon Mumford. Shane Mumford. And he fucking played a cracking game.
But then also on the same time, I think there's also some commitments as well that you can't loan it to. I'm trying to think. I might be making this up, but something like you can't loan them to an awesome team. Does that make sense?
To make them better. I suppose so. I imagine there would be a cutoff at a certain point in the year, which would almost be like the mid-season draft, where they just go, beyond that, you can't strengthen a great team.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think in America, like the NFL, they do waivers way late in the league.
They do whatever they want, though, don't they? You know, they just
people are moving everywhere.
Yeah, they just go, hey, one game, off you go, you know, and then they come back. I mean, I've told this story on the pod before a while ago, but listen to a pod with Ben Graham, punter, and sorry, not Ben Graham and Ricky Ponting, but like he's a punter. But he told a story about how he got cut from a team, came back to Australia with his family. The replacement didn't have a passport. They were playing a game in London that week. So the club called him up and said, get on a plane to London really quick. You're back on the team. He played a good game and then got another contract.
Yeah, okay. Fuck. It's not a bad way to do it. And also, like, those players on the periphery just get moved, shopped around all the time.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
just basically depth. So you're just added to it.
It's like
a lot of times in the States, you'll get moved to a club with absolutely no chance of playing game time, but you're just there to fill out in case three players in front of you go down.
Yeah, sure. It's like when you look at, you know, the Wikipedia pages of, you know, baseball players or football players or basketball players, and you go like, oh, I remember that guy. He was like really big for the, you know, Boston Celtics. And then you look at his history and you go, oh, he played for eight teams.
Yeah. There's a little bit of lack of loyalty.
Concussion, Adam. We know it's a problem.
I think it's still okay.
Have you actually been concussed? I don't think I've ever asked that question.
Yeah, now we've spoken about this on the potty. I have not, and I remember you saying you have maybe once or twice.
No, I haven't been, yeah, but maybe that makes me think I have been once or twice. I didn't remember that we talked about it. No, I haven't been knocked out.
Right, I mean, I don't believe
you would
I've
have to try pretty fucking hard to knock this bloke out.
Well, you would have to come really close to the ball.
And that's not an invitation for junk time. Just try it on the street. They see me. There's the two-week concussion rule now. So you get concussion, you're done for 14 days. Now, unfortunately, Chelsea Randall is not going to be playing for the Crows this Sunday's AFLW Grand Final on Saturday afternoon against the Lions by the fact that she got concussed and so she has to sit it out. Because of the 14-day rule. Now, some coaches are saying maybe we should have a two-week gap before the grand final after the prelims by the fact that if someone gets knocked out at the prelim, they can't play the next week. So if we give the 14 days, then they can play.
Yeah, so it's 12 days that they've got to sit
12,
out.
12, okay, gotcha.
12, but...
That is a fucking arbitrary number, by the way. That is arbitrary.
Yeah, it's very strange, isn't it?
They've made that up.
You don't think it's the amount of hours? Oh, happened on 268 hours?
Oh, 11? No, it doesn't feel right. 13? Too many. 12. But 12?
Yeah.
Just right. It's the Goldilocks rule.
Do you reckon like they've sat there with a concussed bloke going, how do you feel today? And he's like, still a bit fuzzy.
Gee, it's midnight on the 10th day. It's not quite right, no.
Another day. So they're basically saying, because the other thing that's come out is our... pre-finals bye, the one that we have made our own, they want to get rid of that because they're saying it's disadvantaging teams who finished in the top four.
So
if you win that qualifying final, that means you only play pretty much one game in 25 to 26 days.
Yep, gotcha, yeah. So we can see what the AFL is doing right now. Like,
yeah, they're coming for us.
Nothing to do with concussion.
Absolutely.
This is about.
I couldn't give a fuck about concussion.
We've been placing our flag for 5-6 years on that bye week Sunday, and the AFL has seen it. They don't like what they're seeing. They don't like what they're hearing.
They don't like the money spinner that it's become.
They don't like the lucrative TV right dollar that we get from India, from Europe, from America. And so they're coming for us. So they want to maybe take that bye week away. Which are they going to have that bye week this year?
It's factored in this year, yes. Okay. It hasn't been removed yet.
And then maybe put 2 weeks before the grand final. But here's my idea for the concussion plan, okay, Adam?
Yeah.
Here's my, I think it fits quite well with the junk time aura.
Mm-hmm.
Player gets concussed, okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Is this in the prelim or just in general?
In general, in a game, okay? To get rid of this rule, okay? Yep. Player gets concussed. They're allowed to stay on the field.
Mm-hmm.
An equal-sized player, you know, if they're 6'2", 80 kilos, yep. 6'2", 80 kilos, someone concusses them. Probably the club doctor. The club doctor, that'd be fair.
From the opposition team, you're saying?
So now they're 21 and 21 with one concussed player each.
Yep, yep.
And then those two players have to play one out in the goal square, okay? So,
I like it.
So they toss a coin, so maybe one's full forward, one's full back. You know, you got to keep it fair.
Oh, absolutely.
And then we bring in the zones. So only two people can be in the zone.
Yeah.
In the forward zone. And we just let the concussed people just see what they can do.
Yeah. I'm tuning into that. If you're going to have two concussed people, and also... You know what? There's no tribunal ramifications from that.
Yes, fair enough.
You don't know what you were doing.
Don't know what you're doing. Yeah. So concussion. You know,
mm-hmm.
Stop the play. Club doctor comes out. All the players line up. Club doctor smashes one with the head in the cricket bat.
Definitely stopped play for this to happen on the big screen. Like this brings eyeballs to the television. If I'm watching a player. If I'm not even watching this game, someone says, mate, someone got KO'd. You're like, fuck it, I'm onto this game. I'm onto 503 on Fox.
So the players line up. Yeah.
I know that Dr. Bruce Reid is about.
Well, he's actually passed away, so let's not say that.
Oh, okay.
But the players line up, so they go from tallest to smallest. So, you know, probably not many people are going to match up to like a Mason Cox.
Yeah.
But then, like, if it's like a 6'2", and then.
It's a midfielder.
And as the doc is going down the line. And he's like, oh, who's he going to pick? Who's he going to pick? Who's the big? And all of a sudden he goes, fucking whack.
You know what? He walks down the line from behind. So the players never see it coming. Just all of a sudden, boom, they don't know what day it is. They're fucking out of it. They're heading down to the back line. And you know what I'm going to love? They're not going to know whether they're full back or full forward.
No, they're going to be like trying to have shots to goal, both of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. We're innovators. AFL, are you listening to us?
Yeah, I don't think they are. Well, what is your take on 2 weeks between prelim and grand final? Now, they do that in the NFL. So after the championship game, there's 2 weeks. And it's kind of, it makes like a bigger lead into it. And it just means that any niggles are gone. So, you know, you actually get the best quality product because anyone who's got like a bit of a, you know, corky or a slight hamstring injury can get up.
And it means more events. It means more functions. Mate. Means more, you know, dinners.
Sporties.
Sporties. Yeah. And
more cashies.
You know who's going to have a fucking field day.
Yeah.
Alfred. Mike Brady.
The Wiz. Oh, Mike. Fucking hell. So many people are going to have field days.
It gives Mike Brady another week to kind of bring out, you know, play a few from the new album and then play the classics to finish off. Yep. But no, I mean, it's a question without notice. I haven't really thought about it too much. And I wonder, I think we need to begin treating concussions like they're hamstrings and knees and shoulders and elbows. Like, I think it's like the kind of injury where you go, it's unfortunate that it happened, but...
you're just going to miss. Bad luck.
I think so. They're not going to be on their Robinson Crusoe about people who have missed grand finals and the like. I think a two-week gap is probably too big. I think it's too big. If we were,
you know what, you
if
know who we were, it'd be great for? It'd be great for that person who got rubbed out. Just to fucking suck it up for two whole weeks. Like, you know, Anthony Rocker in 2003, I believe that's the one he missed, wasn't it?
I think he might be
right. He nearly kicked the goal in 2002.
Yeah.
So he gets rubbed out after the prelim and he's got to sit through 14 days of pure fucking hell.
You know, if we were a country that the whole country was a fan of Australian rules football,
yep,
I think it'd work a treat. But also, and in America they played Pro Bowl during that gap as well. Like, I don't reckon we're going to get players to play State of Origin or anything during that gap week.
AFLX?
I don't think we're ever going to get the players to play AFL except for again.
It's a disappointing thing. Probably they probably wouldn't play AFL except because it would take away from the actual grand final.
Actually, yeah, you don't want to put the main event before the undercard.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Hey, actually, you're not going to love this, but did you watch much of WrestleMania Part 1 and 2 on Sunday morning and Monday morning? Did you get involved?
We're going to do footballers in real life this week. It's been a quiet week.
Bianca Belair was awesome. Sasha Banks. Isn't that amazing?
And this is why you should get along and see Michael's show up in
Why don't I talk about wrestling? I don't talk about wrestling. That'd be too complex for some of the jabronis out there, for the marks. concussion rule. Cade Simpson, talking about a comeback?
Yeah, he just kind of casually mentioned it on a competition podcast. He was on with Dylan Buckley, and he actually said he didn't really want to retire. It was basically kind of a sideways sledge at the Blues. He was just saying, I reckon I could have gone on, but
yeah, sure.
Also they got Adam Sard and Zach Williams, who play halfback flank. If I was Carlton, I would have given me the arse too. But clearly he thought he had more to give, and I actually thought he played okay.
Yep.
But then I reckon at that age, the drop-off is really quick, and it goes from being, he was all right, to fucking hell, he should have retired last year.
Yeah, sure. So he said he's been flogging himself in the gym to kind of stay fit. And but then I don't know if you noticed in the transcript or the article on the pod, and the Dylan Buckley pod is a great pod, by the way. He talked about, I want to get into maybe the mid-season draft.
Yeah.
But I kind of only want to go to a team that's competing for a flag.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, mate, why would he go to like a cellar dweller? You know, if North probably could use someone like him in their back line at the moment. They just lost Luke McDonald. He's just going, nah. I wasn't really flogging myself in the gym that much.
I mean, it was a great caveat, though, wasn't it? You know, like,
yeah, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, so like if someone wants to kind of go, you know, hey, we're flying. I mean, obviously, Melbourne would be the pick right now.
Totally.
Yeah, and back-to-back, obviously double up next year.
Mate, imagine that, Simo Petrarca.
Oh, man, after being the most losing player of all time, he then gets to win two flags in a row. That is a fucking fairy tale. That's a movie right there.
Hey, you know what? That's a really good point. And I think that any team out there who appreciates the nicer things in life should actually look after Cade Simpson in the mid-season draft. Yeah. I think that would be a really honourable thing to do.
And we've been strong on that for a while too, haven't we? We've been saying that on the pod for a while. You know, come on, guys, give a bit more love to Cade Simpson. Yeah. You know, the Carlton legend that he is. The poor, unfortunate person who had to fucking had he got recruited and he was like, this is amazing. Oh, my God. If you told him on that day you're going to play 300 games, he'd be like, no way. No way. Here's a fun fact. You're going to play, like, finals, like, three times. Oh, get fucked. We'll wrap it up very shortly, folks. Don't forget our comedy, Adam's Comedy Festival show, Melbourne Comedy Festival show. Give the times again, Adam.
So the Saturday the 17th at 5:30 and Sunday the 18th at 4:45. Saturday's almost sold out. Sunday there's still a handful of tickets left. So this is your last chance to see this show, The Unwellness Guru, because I will be retiring it unless someone wants it in the mid-season draft. They want me to come to a pub, perform it only for cash. We'll keep that off the books. I'm happy to do it for cash. We'll talk. Hit me up.
I like the idea that your poster gets carried off after the show.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do the Sydney Comedy Festival in about a month's time, Thursday the 13th of May, Friday the 14th of May at 7 p.m. at the Factory Theatre in Marrickville. Check the Sydney Comedy Festival website to get some guffaws.
Get around him, junk timers. Get around him.
Coaches have phones in the box now. I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, I don't think it was ever not a thing, but then there's been talk that the AFL Integrity Unit, the Black Ops, should get involved. There was a photo on this article with Leon Cameron sitting in the box, and he's got his mobile just sitting there like you would, you know, if you're at work or whatever, you just have it next to you, next to the computer. But they're saying because pretty much everyone else who enters the change room has the mobile phone taken off them and placed, I think, an AFL official must take care of it, you know, probably goes through it, downloads the photos that he wants, uses it for blackmail at a later time.
Sure. Puts it in the cloud for the St. Kilda schoolgirl and...
Yeah, exactly. So it was an odd look that a coach had it in the box, but Then they, you know, there's more photos of it, and it's just a normal thing. Coaches do it. What's your take on it, Michael Chamberlain?
Well, from what I can gather from the article, I think 10 officials are allowed to have them. So people like the club doctor, I think there were three particular people who were allowed to have them, and obviously the club doctor, fair enough.
Can't there be like just a club burner that they go, fucking hell, someone's gone down, we need you to ring the hospital, use this phone. Oh, what's its number? Dunno, mate. It's going to be smashed in about 3 minutes.
Sure.
Just make the call and shut the fuck up.
So I think about 10 officials are allowed to have them. The rest of the players and the like, they have to get taken away from them.
Yep.
Do you remember, I don't know if you were playing back in the day of mobile phones when...
No.
Oh, okay. So when I was at... Okay, I mean, I don't want to talk about it, but same areas.
What happened there?
One best first year player.
Yeah, okay.
1999, D4 division, don't want to talk about it. You know, I'm on the board there, no big deal. But at the start of the game, basically you put your wallet and your watch and your phone. I don't think I had a phone in 99, but maybe a few years later I had a phone. And it was obviously,
but that's not an integrity thing, is it?
No. That was like some kind of going to break into your car. Yeah. No, it's definitely like so they don't break into the car. And then the one of the trainers there would look after it, and I think chuck it in his boot. So instead of me, losing my wallet and watch and phone, 20 other people would too. But then there was always the occasion where you know he'd forget. And he'd drive off
with a full team's wallet back when no one had PayWave or anything on their phone. So yeah, you're all loaded up with cash.
Get very quickly on the phone. No, mate, come back. Oh shit, I forgot.
Yeah, I forgot.
It's very strange though. Yeah, putting your valuables in kind of one bag, and it's like I think we just made like a great score for like you know, and that they back then that would have been a good score. You actually would have got money out of wallets and the like. Like unlike
mate, if you had a full team, there's at least $1,800. Every bloke who's going out on a Saturday night would have, you reckon, had at least a fucking cheeky hunge on him.
I mean, if they're not.
I
doing
mean, sorry,
very
sorry, we're
well.
Playing in the ammos. There's at least five hunge sitting in each of those wallets.
They're not drinking top shelf.
Yeah, that's right. But the interesting thing about the phones in the box, like I imagine that if they are there. And you're a mate of Leon Cameron's who's analytical. You go, mate, why wouldn't you put fucking Toby Green to here or do this?
That's what I'm thinking too. So I'm thinking, okay, if it's... Okay, could it be Leon Cameron's actual phone or is it a burner from the club? Okay.
Oh, I hear
you. So the club people are communicating with him. But then they also have phones on the bench. So it's like, why can't the club official do that? Like, is... You know, Dave Matthews' band fucking sending messages saying, you know, fucking pull your finger out.
Nah, I reckon it's someone outside your cap who you're just playing under the table. He's sitting up in the top deck and he's just going, oh, mate, Brody Grundy, I saw him just limping to the bench, which no one else has seen.
No, because they have no cameras and they have no media and they have no fans.
No. I remember once. Now, I used to work at Triple M back in the early days when they were doing radio.
Mm-hmm. Wait, clarify. Footy radio, not like just like doing radio.
Oh, yeah, sorry, footy. The footy coverage.
Yeah.
Triple M footies on the radio.
Not just like, you know, Triple M, we're bringing the best of the best. the poppy most.
But they had Dermy as special comments, and he was talking about making a move, and I'm pretty sure it was Danny Frawley then made that move, and they had Triple M on in the box.
They, around about that time, I believe they talked about when Derm kind of first came into commentary that they would have people monitoring it and seeing what he was saying.
Yeah, because he was so good at special comments.
He was saying, you know, they're about to kick this way, they're about to do that. And he was a bit of a novelty back then, like he could kind of call the play. And so I actually do believe they had, you know, Channel 7 and Triple M on in some boxes kind of keeping an eye on that.
And now they still do it these days because they'll be like down at the bench. They go, someone's about to do a shake and bake, followed by he's going to sell some candy. And then it's going to turn into a foot race. Fucking get on that.
Shit. But I also like the edit. So, like the picture was Leon Cameron, and I think a number of coaches do have these phones now. But I also like the idea, like, you know, a lot of the coaches have young kids, and he's just getting messages going, oh, Dad, fucking my sister hit me. Can you do something? He's like, shut up. It's fucking halfway through the third quarter. Fuck off. Like, but then they also talk about integrity, and I go, so I imagine those computers that have the internet as well, the laptops have the internet.
I was just thinking that.
So I'm like, what's the difference between a phone and a laptop?
Nothing now. No, mate, they're almost identical.
Like, Do we ever,
I mean, you know what? A phone is like a laptop in your pocket.
Like, do you think when Chris Scott cracks it in the box and they have the footage, is that like, you know, maybe late in the last quarter? Is that because he's like, fuck, I told the assistant coach to fucking put a multi on?
It's because his fond Wi-Fi is not connecting.
Fond Wi-Fi. Has anyone ever connected to fond Wi-Fi? What is fond Wi-Fi?
Save it for your show, mate.
No, fucking no. But yeah, I find that fact. But then I read about cricket, obviously, are very strict. And they don't allow phones
Cricket, because it has a very bad history of spot betting.
It obviously does, yeah. It obviously does. Like, you find about the Australian rules, and it's basically like the players are the only ones who have done the dodge. Like, there's been no outside influence.
Oh, I'm going to be playing up forward this week, Mum. Why don't you put $10 on me at $81 and I'll kick the first goal in the replay grand final and we'll clean up. And we'll have that picture of me holding a betting ticket in the premiership poster.
But the with cricket, they take away your phone, they take away, well, I don't think you probably wouldn't bring a laptop, but they take away your iPad, anything at all, they take it away. Which just actually makes me think how boring it would be. Like, if you're in the batting team and you just got to sit there for hours and you can't, you got to watch the game. Like, I mean, no, you know, you're meant to, and, you know, but I'm like, sheesh, you can't even just look up, you know, what's going on in the world.
You can't even slide into anyone's DMs in a whole test match.
I know, that's the thing. I mean, you got to really feel for players these days. It's a lot different. Yeah, that's not fair. A lot different.
What if at halftime, if you've kicked eight and you can't even go down to check your DMs to see who's going to be out and about at the Albion?
Where are we partying tonight?
It's a disgrace.
Hey, yeah, we're going to hit the road. We are JunkTimeAFOPod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. Go Hawks.
Go Blues.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.